Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at
1-800-833-33.
The legend, the music of the legend, Tim May. He will be joining us very shortly here. Dan Menigan in for Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. We had ourselves a very fun college football weekend. It was great to see the playoff. We finished up yesterday, a day later than we should have, and we'll just say thoughts and prayers for everybody down in New Orleans who is dealing with it. Anybody who is up here listening right now who is dealing with friends or family, just obscene, gross, uncalled for, and inexcusable attack that took place down in New Orleans on New Year's Day, taking a great party and what would have been a great time and absolutely ruining it. And so it stinks that this has become a part of this. It stinks that some of this is the story that we are going to have to tell when talking about the college football playoff, but it's the reality. And it stinks. So nothing but love to all of them. But we had ourselves a heck of a weekend. Notre Dame ends up getting the win over Georgia, thus making it that all four teams who had the bye did not make the college football semifinal. It's a weird, weird thing to think. I am floored that we are in this position. Like, the fact that we would look at this and we would say that the bye did not exactly help anybody. And so we go to the North Hobson Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. And we will do that very shortly for the legend Tim May to talk about how we are not going to have these teams have the bye. And I'm floored by this. I would have thought between Oregon, between Georgia, I mean, these are some good teams, man. Arizona State made a run at it. The fact that that time off seems to have something to do with this. And it's a very, very small sample size. And we are, you know, we're still learning. We're still figuring it out. I'm not saying that it's the end all be all or anything like that. But it's a fascinating development. And when fascinating things happen, there is only one place that we go. And we go to Letterman Row. And we go to the North Hobson Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. And we bring in the legend, one of my favorite people. He is Tim May, fresh from Pasadena. Have you left Pasadena, my friend? Or are you back here in the snow and cold?
Baby, I left Pasadena about 9 o'clock Pasadena time. And spent the night in Barstow, and now I've been in Vegas for 2 days and played golf yesterday.
Oh, man.
Flight leaves late afternoon from out here. Yeah, it's not much. It's a little bit warmer, but I had a great time playing golf. The weather was great, and my wife sent me a picture of our backyard laden in snow, and that's what I'm headed to. But, you know, everyone has a cross to bear at some point.
Exactly. We're all suffering in this together. Tim, it's in the 20s up here in Cleveland. There's snow on the ground. And just hearing that even you, you know, that there's somebody out there who is seeing the sun and playing golf, I'm so jealous. I'm like just dripping
it in. I'm standing here at the window, stayed in Mandalay Bay here and standing in the window here, and it's overcast a little bit, but it's so nice. It's ridiculous.
You poor guy.
I like Vegas. I don't even gamble, so go figure.
You poor guy. I don't know how you do it.
Willpower. Willpower. Strength. Willpower, strength of character. You name anything. Anything right there that pops up on the thesaurus, that's me.
Yeah. The hero that we not only need, but the hero that we deserve. So,
bingo.
My friend, let's go to Pasadena. What was the scene like?
Let me throw one more thing in there.
Yes.
The John Wayne of our age. Go ahead.
10 feet tall and bulletproof. So,
yeah.
Let's head back to Pasadena. What was the scene like watching Ohio State just lay the smackdown?
It was I think for everybody, including even Ohio State probably, it was like, is this really happening? Did we tune into the wrong channel? But then you hadn't paid attention to what had happened the previous game when they basically did the same thing to Tennessee with its vaunted best defensive line in the Southeastern Conference. You know, when it's that way, you don't necessarily, like General Norman Schwarzkopf showed us in the first Gulf War, you don't necessarily charge where the trenches are. You charge around them. And that's what Ohio State has done for two games now after – you know, learning about trench warfare against Michigan, learning about it the hard way. But it was a sight to behold. I mean, they ran two of their first three plays were plays they didn't even run all year, including what I've been waiting for them to run for many years, the wide screen play, which kind of drives you nuts, but they just considered a running play. But instead of throwing it there, pump fake, G. Scott took off up the sideline, you know, from that wide screen, from that bunch out wide, and 35-yard gain right off the bat, and you're going, I haven't seen that before. And then two plays later, they run a little flip motion with Jeremiah Smith coming across the formation. And as Will Howard pointed out, what tips you off there is if they don't rotate as fast as they should on the defensive side of the ball, number four is getting it, and he did, and took it to the house, broke one tackle, and took it to the house. So after three possessions, Ohio State was up 14-0, and the defense was doing a number on Dillon Gabriel. I think they'd already gotten a sack, which they got zero in the first meeting. And until it really it mattered all the way through. But once you go up 34-0, you've really got to implode, and Ohio State did not.
It felt like in that game that on the offensive side of the ball, in that first drive, they realized that Oregon was having a hard time communicating where all the motion was going to go and who was going to cover who, and they just exploited it all game. It just felt like, all right, let's put Jeremiah Smith in motion again. Oh, look, they can't communicate. Let's hit him up the seam. Oh, look, they can't communicate. Emeka Egbuka switching sides either. And it just felt like they went, let's just do this over and over again. And on the defensive end, Tim,
Ohio State didn't really do anything super exotic, you know, like you're just pointing out. They just made you defend them from stem to stern, you know. And, you know, the first drive was only three plays. And the next one was probably more impressive. I mean, you know, the deep pass to Emeka Egbuka was right on the money. This idea that Will Howard is refuting over and over now in the postseason that he can't throw deep accurately. I mean, that criticism is now out the door, and if you let him throw deep, he can. So, bottom line is, yeah, I mean, there are all kinds of reasons that Ohio State is now favored to win the whole thing because the Buckeyes are playing like you thought they were going to play every game all year long, and you know, they made the first half against Oregon look like their first half against Purdue, except worse, and that was the number one team in the country they beat, not the number three team in the SEC. You got me? So,
yeah,
it's impressive. And this is the kind of group, man, we talked to them after the game and stuff. I mean, there's just some maturity about this football team. You know, everybody knows about the roster. And, you know, a lot of people think, you know, Ohio State scored spent $20, $21 million on the roster through NIL. Well, Oregon's was probably up to $23, $24 million. So nobody talks about that. Nobody talks about how much money Texas has spent on its roster because they don't know the number. At least Ross Bjork was up front and said, you know, this is how much money, you know, they figure is invested in this roster and all kinds of reasons. But there are teams that have spent more than that. They just won't admit it. And now it's Ohio State, Texas, a classic matchup in the Cotton Bowl. This was 40 years ago. You'd be going, wow, you know, can't wait for this one. But it's now 40 years later, and it's really wow. The guy that came to Ohio State and decided to go back home after 4 months, Quinn Ewers, leading Texas, which has been very, for want of another term, inconsistent offensively for quite a while now in this season, including the other day against Arizona State. I mean, you know, Arizona State, in my opinion, got robbed in that game because that definitely was targeting, in my opinion, which should have set them up for a winning field goal.
I thought so too, man. I thought the same exact thing.
I just kind of get off on digressions here. I can't help it. You know that, my man.
But you know what? On top of that one, if we're going to continue to have rules like targeting where it's really just going to come down to whatever the referee's opinion is in that given time, we're going to run into this nonsense. Like, I hate subjective penalties, Tim. Like that, it just drives me up the wall that we are living in a world of subjective penalties and we can't get some kind of hard, fast rule for this stuff.
Well, what you ought to be upset about, I mean, he hit him, he hit the guy square in the head and he did basically semi-dip his helmet, but the point was he hit him first in the head, and that to me has always been targeting. You know, I mean, no matter when they weren't given, it was bottom line a personal foul. So I'll leave it at that. But what Ohio State fans ought to be upset is, I think this streak is continuing. I don't think Ohio State opponents have been called for a holding against Ohio State all year. And that's a ridiculous stat. But if you watch the Oregon game, it was like wrestling out there. By Oregon, not one call. I remember one call just watching the referee. You're looking, I'm seeing Jack Sawyer just being the Oregon right tackle's got his arm wrapped around Jack Sawyer's neck as he rushes, and the referee's just standing there looking at it. And then about, you know, a few minutes later, 10 or 15 minutes later, he calls a holding call on Ohio State's tight end, Will Kaczmarek, on a run play to the right. That was a hell of a run, a hell of a play. And if you go back and watch the replay, wasn't even close to being a holding call. So who knows what's going on?
Who knows? The legend Tim May joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. You can read him at Letterman Row, the Tim May podcast as well. You're right. You saw it throughout the entire thing. And it's one of those, you see those replays every so often, Tim, when it comes to holding. And we see it up here with Myles Garrett a good amount too, where it's like, sir, the million-dollar dream is not allowed in this match. Like, we do not allow the sleeper hold in college football.
Well, no,
so thank you.
That's the point. We're not even talking about holding. We're talking about choking.
Exactly. We don't allow the sleeper hold here.
Yeah, exactly. Boy, and it sure didn't work. Shaq Sawyer had a ridiculous game. JT Tuimoloau also, Tyleek Williams stepped up like we always think he can at any moment, you know, to just create havoc in the inside, and then Ty Hamilton is always there to clean up and or create his own havoc. So the front four for Ohio State, and then Caden Curry goes in, and Kenyatta Jackson. Caden Curry has that backside chase down for a sack, and I mean the front, whatever iteration of the front four was in there at the time had a hell of a day, and then the Ohio State offensive line had a tremendous day. So when you win the trenches, man, you got something going for you. Just ask General Pershing from World War One.
My God, you're hitting everything. We got General Pershing from World War One. We got Schwarzkopf. This is tremendous. We got John Wayne in here. Man, this is living the high life.
Yeah, Woody Hayes always saw it as football as a military exercise where you didn't have guns.
Val, I mean, I think Lombardi thought the same way too. All right, so
anybody who's worth a darn feels that way, you just can't always voice it. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. All right, so what do we make out of the fact that we've got number 5 Texas going up against number 8 Ohio State in the Cotton Bowl, and we've got number 6 Penn State versus number 7 Notre Dame going up in the Orange Bowl? Do we take anything away from the fact that there is not any team with the bye that has moved on?
Well, yeah, number one, we've talked about this on this show all year, man. College football is what the NFL dreams of right now and basically does. I mean, the parity, unless people aren't paying attention, the parity's been obvious for a while now. The transfer portal has allowed teams to get better, some of them sneakily better. They have competent players at almost every position now, especially the ones that made the playoff, for sure. They've used the transfer portal and NIL to strengthen their rosters. And it's obvious. I mean, there were all these weird upsets during the season where you kind of like shook your head like, what? And then you go, well, wait a minute, Pavia, the kid from Vanderbilt, where was he a couple years ago? You know what I mean? Right on down the line. I mean, what Texas has got Quinn Ewers. Ohio State's got has got Will Howard. Penn State has got a guy that they grew from the ground up, Drew Aller. But Notre Dame's got the kid who transferred from Duke.
Leonard.
I mean, you go out and get a quarterback, you know, and who can play, and then you get other people who can play. So, you know, three of the four teams have transfer quarterbacks who have been there for a year, you know, with Ewers a couple of years, but with Ohio State and Leonard, and, you know, once they figured out how to use these guys properly, you become a contender because you've got that guy at quarterback. So, yeah, and the other thing is, you know this, I mean, without asking it, you know, Texas is the SEC's last hope. and they should have been beaten. The SEC should be out of it. And, of course, now these people down in the SEC territory are talking about revamping the CFP rules and stuff because they didn't make out like they thought they were going to with this iteration of the rules from a qualifying and seeding and all that other standpoint. But let me tell you, Ohio State would have beaten Tennessee if they played the game in Honolulu. I mean, they dominated that game. Ohio State would have beaten Oregon maybe if they played that game again in Autzen Stadium because it was a different look, different attitude Ohio State football team. So I think the Final Four is pretty stout in my opinion. And I do think there's something to be said, like you were just alluding to, of having the bye of not playing. But Texas, you know, Texas played in the SEC championship game. They're the ones Texas and Penn State had the really rough row to hoe because if both of them get to the national championship game, it will be their 17th games of the season. So it just shows that sometimes when you get beat, you get maybe a little bit of a break like Ohio State did, but sometimes it doesn't matter. Sometimes you're the better team. And we saw what Penn State was all about in the Big Ten championship game. I mean, they exposed Oregon's defense for what Ohio State then exploited. So, you know, I think the four best teams at this moment are in it, just like in the NCAA basketball tournament. You don't have to be the best team during the regular season, but boy, if you get hot, look out.
You catch fire at the right time, you figure it out and all that stuff. And I think the other side of it too, Tim, and Dan Wetzel brought this up in, I can't remember if it was his pod or when he's hopped on to me, and he just, I always enjoy talking to Dan because he always makes me think.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah, he knows stuff.
Oh, he does. And so he brought up the really good fact of Caleb Downs. And the fact that Ohio State went down there and said, we need another safety. And they went down to Alabama and plucked one of the best in the country after sitting with him for all those days and said, we are going to bring this guy up here and it's going to set this defense off. Tim, in that Rose Bowl game, dude, it felt like there were two Caleb Downs on the field at any given point. That guy was everywhere. It was insane.
Yeah. And here's the thing. You know, Alabama, we all saw Alabama in the bowl game, right? Wow. And the point is, he'd still be at Alabama if Nick Saban hadn't retired. You know what I mean? I mean, that's what made him available. That's what made Seth McLaughlin was clearly coming to Ohio State after he stepped away from Alabama this time a year ago. Julian saying Ohio State's going to be probably our starting quarterback next year. We'll see how spring works out. But, you know, he practiced with Alabama last bowl season, well, last college football playoff season. And but the thing about Caleb Downs is, you're exactly right. I mean, as Ohio State picked up two unicorns, as a guy on the staff referred to them to me a couple of months ago, in Caleb Downs and Jeremiah Smith, two unicorns on this team, meaning they are special. They are, you don't mm-hmm. see this every day kind of players. And both of them, you know that old adage, great players play great in the big games. And both of them, of course, stepped up. But Caleb Downs is just, if you ever get to go to a game live, you ought to just zero in. I tell people this all the time. You watch the line play, but then just zero in on Caleb Downs and how quickly he recognizes what's coming, how quickly sometimes he signals his buddies just before the snap of what's coming, and then he goes to the ball. As I like to refer to it, he's one of those last frame guys, and people go, what is that? It was like Andy Katzenmoyer. You watch almost any game tape, and you will see Caleb Downs where the ball is at the end of the play, whether he's the first one there or the last one there, he gets to the ball on almost every play. And Lathan Ransom is basically the same player, too. That's just something you almost can't coach because he wants to be in the mix.
Buddy, hit him straight. Enjoy the sun. I'm beyond jealous.
No, I'm headed home. I'm headed home here in a minute. I hope the guy flies straight. That's all I'm worried about.
Well, if anything, try to find a little bit more sunshine because, boy, this could be a little bit before we see it here.
I know. Hey, Dan, it's not even February yet. You know, that's always my worst month living in Ohio. Otherwise, I'm glad I moved up from Texas. But February really stinks.
At least we'll have the West Coast swing at that point of the tour. We'll talk more tour later. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate it as always.
See you next week, my friend.
He is the man, the myth, the legend. He is Tim May. You can read him every week at Letterman Row. Listen to him on the Tim May podcast as well. Oh, a ton to break down from there. And I want your thoughts, too. Do you think the bye is a bad thing for college football? Dissect that a little bit here. But first, the 2020 for McKenzie.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs or Wings. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hi, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Your wedding is a day you'll remember forever. And your fiancé? Your fiancé deserves a suit that feels just as special as the moment you say I do. At Nick's, we've dressed over 20,000 wedding parties, and we specialize in helping weddings own their suits for about the same price as a rental. That means not only will your fiancé look amazing on your wedding day, but we'll have a suit that can be worn for years to come. Let us make this the easiest and most meaningful part of planning your wedding. Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.